Good evening. I am Dusty Tackle, for those who don't know me. And I have known Dr. Ralph my entire life, I'm pretty sure, since I was two. And about 5 years ago was the first time I started meeting with Ralph and allowing him to mentor me. And I know you guys have heard a lot of things. Some of you have heard some of this before. Sometimes you hear it, and you hear it differently, or you hear it in a new way. And there's a lot to soak in and a lot to really contemplate. But of everything that I have gotten from Ralph, the most important thing, and if you take away just one thing from it, it is, and you've probably heard him say it over and over, the importance that your language become Thanksgiving. And he talks about it often, and we have these shirts in the back, and it's thankfulness, gratefulness, appreciation, and praise. They're $15, by the way, if you want to buy one. But that becomes your language, because that is the very core of this entire message, of the entire teaching. At the very, very core is for your language to become Thanksgiving. And I remember when we first started meeting, he said, you know, Dusty, right now this is just a theory to you. Everything I share with you is just a theory. It's a thought. But as you work it out in your life, it becomes a law. It becomes no longer, it goes from being a theory to being law. And the more you practice it, the more it becomes, and now it's just, it's a law in my life. It is, you know, when Thanksgiving becomes your language, then it's hard not to see the good. It's hard not to fix your eyes on him, on everything that's right in your world. When Thanksgiving becomes your language, you pause and you think to respond instead of react. When Thanksgiving becomes your language, you decide to, even in disappointments and hard times, to know that he is still good, and you see the good in it. And you learn to say, truly nothing goes wrong in my world, because we know the scripture that he works all things for the good. That becomes such a part of you because Thanksgiving has become your language. So I would just encourage you, if you take, and I know you're going to take so much away from it because it's so good, but if you just take that one thing, that Thanksgiving, in all things be thankful, if you take away that one thing, that's, and I think you've talked about it before, but it's the very core, you know, it's so important to keep your core strong physically because everything else comes out of it. That's what your core is spiritually, is Thanksgiving. And it's appreciation, praise. When that becomes your language, everything else flows from it. So I know I appreciate Doc. I love him. He is the real deal. He, when he tells you you've been in his thoughts, I promise you, you have been in his thoughts. And I love you. And if you want to give, and we would love for you to, I mean, he gives of his time to do this, you can download the Eagles Way Church app. Just go to the app store, type on Eagles Way Church. You'll see it. You'll see the little red EW come up. Download it. You have a place where you, it says give. Once you press give, it takes you to a separate site called PushPay. It's safe. Everything is good. And then you have a little drop-down menu, and you can select. It has like tithes, alms, missions, different things. You'll see intentional mind. Select intentional mind. And every bit of that goes to Doc. And it's been, this is an investment into a life change. So, Doc, have at it.
Amen. Okay, I'm on. Well, good to have you with us tonight. Amen. Such an honor. Did everybody get a note? Did everybody, we passed out some notes here. Did anybody get, anybody did not get one? Hold your hand up. Where's Randy? There's Randy. Okay. Everybody got one. Randy, my man. You covered this group like the dew covered Dixie, son. You covered it. Well, it's good. Good, good. David Gamble was telling me tonight that they are having fish sticks, I believe, at the jail tonight with tartar sauce. And you can go back for double helping of tartar sauce if you want it. Amen. So we're going to try to outdo that tonight. Amen. Elizabeth, how you doing tonight? Good. This has been an interesting week, a very week, and I appreciate everybody. We had, and I will talk about it later, not tonight, because I got to get Francis permission. I believe in that scripture where it says, and Abraham obeyed Sarah. Abraham was a wise man. But I will, we had a very traumatic week. We had to put our puppy down that's 13 years old, that actually never heard the word dog nor puppy. All that dog has heard for 13 years was child and baby and son. And the point I will make of that later is, before the sessions is over, not tonight, show you how powerful the mind is. Your mind is your godness. Your mind is the God. What is God? God is your mind. Your mind is what determines. Now, for 13 years, Francis said to Pascal that he was a child. And in her mind, she made him a child. We didn't bring the children down to a dog level. She raised the dog up to the child level. In her mind. She raised him up there. So when he passed Monday morning, it was like her losing a child. Because in her mind, he was a child. When he was in the hospital 2 weeks ago over in Fayetteville, we called to check on him. They said, well, we need to get him to eat because we give him some medicine and he can't not take it on an empty stomach, and we can't get, 2 days now, we can't get him to eat. And it dawned on me. I said, what are you feeding him? She said, well, we're feeding him dog food. I said, ma'am, he ain't never ate dog food in his life. He don't eat dog food. She said, well, what does he eat? Table scraps? I said, no. What does he eat? He eat what we eat. Every week when Francis go get groceries, she gets him ham, turkey, smoked turkey, green beans, squash. He eats what we eat. She said, well, if you don't mind, fix him a plate and bring it over here, because he's going to need to get that before we give him this medicine. But the mind is so powerful. See, what you think about, you bring about. And what the mind stays upon, spirit creates it. That's the power of imagination we talked about the other day. Now, I want to share something tonight. And I do appreciate Dusty. Thank you so much for that wonderful opening. And I do appreciate those who's watching online. I know I've got a lot of comments. People say, we're watching online. And I appreciate that. We need for you, especially watching online, to give online. Amen. We certainly appreciate that. And because, again, one of my courses I teach, anything you spend, you're wasting. If you're investing, you expect. That's why we quit spending and we start investing. And what I would like for everybody to do, whether you're watching online or whether you're here tonight, invest. If there's something you see in me you want alive in you, invest in it. Because anything you invest in, you expect a return. If you spend, you're just wasting. You're just wasting money because you don't get a return on spending. But you'll always get a return on expectation, what you expect. And so really appreciate that very much. We had these notes here, and there's 14 things here we're going to be talking about in these 6-night sessions. Now, I want to take a few minutes tonight to get myself together and collected together. Does anyone has been here have any questions or want me to further explain something or go a little bit deeper on anything? If you do, raise your hand or just let us know. Oh, okay, Penny. Yes, Miss Penny.
On August 10th, you talked about need was a waste of energy. You know, what do you mean about we shouldn't need?
Need. Need will get you in a situation where your start leads you to desperate. Desperate leads to panic. That's why Thanksgiving is so important. When you become grateful and thankful for everything you already have and keep that current every day, your needs will be met according to His riches in glory. See what the scripture says. Now, we're going on 7-8 years now that we actually have not asked Spirit God for anything because we're already grateful and thankful. Need robs us. Like Solomon said in the book of Proverbs, want, I will want, is an armed robber. So when you pray in this field full of wants, you're just inviting an armed robber in. Because what you want will take from you from what you already got. So that's why I want become an armed robber. Need is a waste of energy. It's like asking God the question, why? God will never answer the question, why? Why this, Lord? Why this, Lord? Why this, Lord? Chris Christopherson wrote the song back in the early 60s. Why me, Lord? Why? And the answer came back, why not you? You see, why not you? But what God will always answer is the question, what? And instead of asking why this happened, ask the question, what happened? And if you listen carefully, you will hear and know why it happened, you see. So that's why need is just a waste of energy, because it's a low energy. It's a low energy. And it can easily get into begging. Begging can get into your prayers, and now you start reminding God how good you are and how He's not doing what He said He's going to do. And I want to tell you something, that's going to get you nowhere. So what you want to do is always be, as Dusty said, always be grateful and thankful for what you already have. And it will all, because you can never run out of it. You can never, the more I think about what God has done for me and grateful for it, the more I think about what He's done for me, and I didn't get a chance to thank Him for it. So I'm always grateful and thankful for my life. Anybody else? Question? Comment? Now, I know you said, well, I don't want to ask. I don't want to sound dumb. Well, you won't sound dumb. I promise you. I may sound dumb answering it, but you won't sound dumb asking it. Yes?
Just a comment. Need comes from the deficit.
Ma'am?
Just a comment.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Just a comment.
Sure.
Follow up with that. When I hear the word need, I think of a deficit position.
Absolutely. It's a poverty mentality.
So that's like
it is a poverty mentality. Poverty has got nothing to do with how much money you got. Poverty has to do with how you think. Like wealth. Wealth is anything money can't buy. Though money is a part of wealth. But wealth is not just money. And when you have a need, it is a poverty mentality. That's what poverty people have, needs. Let's meet the needs. Let's meet the needs. I learned this a long time ago in our church. We took alms, and I let people know, never expect a return back on your alms. You're giving to the poor. You don't want to reap that. You give your offering, give your blessings, give your tithe to what's above you. Just give what's below you. But don't expect a return on it. He that lend to the Lord, lend to the poor. I realize that. But you're lending here. You are actually giving that out of alms, of love. Of love. And that's why we sow wealth because we reap wealth because we sow into wealth. We were able to build 5 churches for the Mayu Indians down in the Pantene Jungle. When I say built, we literally raised the money. Francis and I raised the money, hundreds of thousands of dollars, took groups of people to Pantene Jungle and built the churches and gave them to the pastors debt-free. Just gave it to them. Who do we ask to help us with that? Rich people. And you know what they did? They gave. For instance, how can Ted Turner have more money than God? Because he has hundreds of charities that he gives to. He's always giving. Now, every year for the last 10 years, Buffett and also Bill Gates, they give half their fortune away and never drop from the top 3 wealthiest people in the country. and they give half it away. Because next year they got that and that much more back. See, that's why Solomon said in Proverbs, I'll always give seed to the sower. I'll give seed to the sower. Well, I want you to give me some. He will once you start sowing. Well, I ain't got nothing to sow. You got two pair of socks. You got something to sow. You always give something to give. Because see, that is, but that's got to take what we talked about here, an intentional mind. The Spear family wrote a song back in the late 50s, said, I got my mind made up. You got to get your mind made up. You got to get your mind made up. This is what I want. I remember several years ago, Frances would go through her closet about every year, about two or three years, and she'd get up all the clothes she'd no longer wear, and she'd take them down to the Goodwill or donate them to the Women's Center and everything else. And I asked her one day, I said, what if we just change practice? Instead of giving it to these organizations, they may need it. Why don't we take your clothes and sew them into somebody that may appreciate it? She said, like who? You dress pretty sharp. Call around. Ask your friend. You know anybody love to have this outfit? Oh, my God, yeah. Then let me sow it in your life. Let's take your abundance and let's turn it into seed. See, that is a wealth mindset. You're always sowing seed. And then there will never be a need of desperation of seed there and everything. Okay, anybody else? Question, comment? All right. Let's begin tonight now. I want to talk to you not about that right there, intentional mind. It's a journey to positive thinking. Now, your trend is thought, thinking, and talking. Most people think positive thinking has to do with your talking. I got to start watching what I say. Watch what I say. No, you got to take it back to the root. The root is your thought. If you try to just correct your talking to start talking positive, that's called managed behavior. And you can only do so much of managed behavior before you slip off the wagon. For somebody's going to come around and tick you off. Someone going to rain in your parade. Someone ain't going to say hey to you. Someone going to bump into your car. And that's when your positive talking is over right there. That's when your managed behavior can no longer be managed. But if you go take it back to the thought. See, thoughts are energy pellets. We're energy beings. Now, what I want to show you tonight, let's look at the first scripture here in Matthew chapter 9. The first slide there, Jason. I've been in the ministry 45 years. I never paid much attention to that until I read it in the Amplified Bible, not the Message Bible, not long ago. And the red stuck out to me. It hit me right between my eyes. As Jesus left the house, he was followed by two blind men crying out, Mercy, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when Jesus got home, the blind men went in with him. That's camp meeting right there. And Jesus said to them, do you really believe I can do this? Now there's your $100 question right there. Do you really believe he can do it? And they answered and said, why, yes, Master, we believe it. Then Jesus touched their eyes and said, now become what you believe. Thank you. There it is, Margaret. That's a confirmation right there, my dear. Either Margaret going to holler hallelujah or sneeze. Hallelujah. She chose to sneeze. Amen. That's the sign. Happy anniversary, Margaret. Happy anniversary. Dad, her, and Ken's anniversary. If you're under 41 and a half, they old enough to be your daddy and mama. So say yes, sir, no, yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, to them. Amen. And Jesus said, become what you believe. Become what you believe. Now, he didn't say, I'm going to make you what you believe. Jesus did not say, I'm going to turn you, I'm going to make you what you believe. Do you believe I can do this? Yeah, well, I'm going to make you what you believe. He said, no, you now become what you believe. Wow. And then verse 30 says, and it happened. And their eyes was opened. When you become what you believe. Now, how many want to know the three levels of faith? Thank you for your enthusiasm. The first level of faith, we all have it, and that is, I believe, just like they said, God can do it. God can do it. Yay. I believe God can do it. And then, after a while, he's slow about doing it. How many remember at times in your life where it looked like God is slow about doing it? In other words, just because you have a need of urgency don't mean heaven's going to cancel everything to come to you. That's why you got to do something while you're waiting, becoming what you believe. Now, the second level of faith is God will do it. Now, there's nothing wrong saying God can do it. I believe God can do it. I believe God can take the Atlantic Ocean, put it over the Pacific Ocean, put the Pacific Ocean in the Gulf, change everything around. God can do anything. Absolutely. He's God. Yay. But will he do it? That's where we falter a little bit at. Will he do it? Now our faith goes from God can do it to now I hope he will. Now, nowhere in the scripture it says pray and hope. And most of us pray and hope. He said, what sort of things you ask when you pray, believe, past tense, that you receive them, past tense, and then you should have them. But you can't believe it's already done if you're hoping it's going to be done. Now, I don't know about you, but when I first got saved in church, I wasn't raised in church. When I got in church in the early 70s, we learned this mantra, well, I'm a hoping and a praying. I'm a hoping and a praying. God can do that. I hope and pray he does. I'm a hoping and I'm a praying. Matter of fact, we wrote a song about one time. I'm a hoping and I'm praying. I'm a hoping and a praying. And then it seemed like he doesn't. You see, because spirit is always trying to take you to the highest level of faith. And the highest level of faith ain't you believing God will do it. The question you're going to have to come to the fact, but what if he doesn't do it? Oh. And how many wants a gold nugget? Less than 2% of the times in your life, God will ever do it like you think he should do it. Which leave most people discouraged and disappointed and doubting. Well, I was hoping he'd do it. I'm hoping and praying he'd do it. See, the highest level of faith is if he doesn't do it. But you have trust that he's got something better for you. That's the only way rest will come in. Rest won't be in I know he can. I believe he will. Rest comes in when you know for a fact he's not going to do it, but he has something better for you. Now, that's the highest form of faith. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Like I was preaching one time at the World Congress Center with Creflo Dollar, and I was preaching on this. And I said, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and a bad Negro. That place come unglued. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, our God in whom we serve can and will deliver us. But if he doesn't, let it be made known to you, O King Nebuchadnezzar, that we're still not going to bow and worship you. Because if he don't do it, he got something better. See, that's the highest form of faith. He doesn't do it like you think he ought to do it, which very seldom he does anyway. That's why God never tells you the full plan to start out with, because you, like me, we mess it up. It's a walk by faith. And faith is not faith till it moves into the area of trust. And trust is when you enter into the state of rest. Okay, are you with me? Now, let's look to the second slide here. In the intentional mind, there is a divine intent to become activated in your daily life. Now, how many believe there's a purpose for your life? other than working at the mill. There's another purpose in your life without you doing what you do. There's a higher calling in your life. How many believe there's a higher you? I teach all my clients, there's a higher you and the lower you. The higher you is the God you, is the Christ you. The lower you is the ego you. And the higher you, you got to know there's a divine intent, but it has to be activated. How is it activated? It becomes activated by your acknowledging it. Not hoping it is, but by acknowledging it. I'll get that in a few minutes. Now, you must create the proper environment. Now, this is not kindergarten stuff here now, folks. Stay with me. Everything is conducive to the environment. Everything is conducive to the environment. We can go right out here in these woods. We can find two little oak saplings. Pull one up, take it to your house, put it in your backyard, leave the other one in the woods in its surroundings. Come back in 5 years and see which one is bigger and stronger and more healthier. It won't be the one you transplanted to your house. It would be the one that stayed in its natural environment. Everything is conducive to your environment. Well, I'm trying to change. You'll never change until you change your environment. What is my environment? It's what you put around you. When this proper environment is created, hear me now, a divine pull will automatically take over the process of your manifesting your need, your will, what you want to do. Now, this divine pull, I'm going to show you this in the next slide. Not now, Jason. In the next slide, I'm going to show you something. Once you're in your proper environment, well, how do I know what I'm to bring around me? Well, let's define what you want in your life. What you want in your life. Well, I want peace. Then you better put an environment around you of peace. That may mean you can't go to Uncle Versus and Aunt Lucy's house every other day. That means you may not can go down to where everything is swinging at. What do you desire? What is in your life that you want to achieve? Now, focus on the environment. Old folks used to say this all the time. You hang around dog, lay down dog, you're going to get up with fleas. Not that you attract them, but you're in their environment. I've seen Christian people trying to bind the devil, and it's his environment. It's darkness. You can't go in darkness and bind something. Do you know how many good Christian people I have told this with love and respect when they wear themselves out praying? Please quit. Until you change the environment. What do you want? What is the environment? In the proper environment, there would be a divine pull. A divine pull. Now, let me define to you this divine pull. It's all of a sudden feeling funny. Can't put my finger on it. I feel like spirit trying to tell me something. Don't know what. There's something, a divine pull, pulling on you. It's not pulling on you, the ego you. It's pulling on the higher you. It's pulling on the inward you. For instance, when I get around Elizabeth here, Elizabeth automatically brings prophecy out on me. She is marked for excellence. She is destined for greatness. And that's why, as she keeps around her the environment that her and Jacob keeps around them and keep reading what she's reading and studying what she's studying, it's going to keep pulling the inside of her out until it comes to a full maturity. Okay? Let's look at the next slide. There is a divine intent operating within every person's life. Now, how many believe there's a divine intent for you? Let me see your hand. Now, don't hit your neighbor. Raise your hand. Okay, these are the steps you're going to have to do. First, you're going to have to acknowledge it. Now, I encourage you to write these seven confessional or mantras down. For 6 or 7 years, every single day, not 3 days, miss 4 days, not 5 days, miss 8 days. No, every single day, I took my paper and I sat down and I said, I acknowledge there's a divine intent in me. There's a divine intent in me. Howard, I believed it. I believe there's a divine intent in me. And though I didn't know what it was, I confessed the divine intent is in me. It's in me. Then the third thing, then I said, I surrender. Oh, my Lord. Now, folks, I'm tired. Y'all going to make me preach here. I don't want to preach here tonight. I surrender to this divine intent. I humble myself. I surrender to it. See, this is the act of the will. I surrender to this divine intent within me. Then number four, I truly desire this divine intent to have its complete work in me. Do you know desire is the only prayer Jesus said that he would answer? Desires. What sort of things you desire when you pray? Believe you already received them and you shall have them. So it's got to become a desire. Number five, I allow. That's a biggie. I allow this divine intent to work within my spirit and my soul. Now please don't leave here unless you write these down. Some of you already doing it. You got a cell phone? Before you leave, tell Jason put slide number two back up and walk up here and click, got it. And then go and make a copy of it and keep it in your face at all times. I now allow this divine intent. Well, Brother Ralph, if God wants me to have it, I'll have it. You've already fell off the intentional journey road. Remember, this course is the intentional mind. You've got to, like the Spirit family, you've got to have your mind made up. I want this. I desire this. I acknowledge this. I surrender to this. I allow it to have its work in me. Then number six, I then feel this divine intent working inside of me. Now, how many mothers, when you heard that you were expecting, came so thrilled, and about a month or two after that, you started feeling something moving in you? That was the divine intent. Because it was intended for you to have that child. That's why there's no accidents. Not in birthing. Maybe a lot of no plans. But there is no accident in birthing. Everything is on time. Now you got to now the seventh one. Love this divine future pull. Now, this divine future pull is what you're going to feel inside of you. Pull, you're not going to be able to explain it. You just know it's pulling you. I can't tell you the times. I just wanted to repent. For what? Just for the sake of repenting. I'm emptying myself. I realized through the law, the universal law of the vacuum, nothing can come in until first I put something out. So I have to empty myself so this will come in. See, it all comes back to how bad do you really want it? And you may and going to have to be sure you either put yourself or create the proper environment. And then it'll produce it. Are you with me? Ladies, let me ask you something. What have you got to do to create mold in your bathroom? Just don't clean it. Just don't wipe the baseboard down. Don't wipe around the toilet because all of us men, we're not good aimers. We tell you we are, but we're not. And what happens? It creates mold, bacteria. Why Why? Because you furnish it the proper environment. All you got to do to have mold is simply create the environment. To have bacteria, very simple. Create the environment. It appears. Well, I really want God in my life. Create the environment. Let's look at the next slide. Now, y'all making me work hard tonight. Example. Every acorn where you live, below Griffin, above Griffin. Below Griffin is an acorn. North of Griffin is an acorn. That falls from a tree has itself a coated DNA inside of it. In every acorn or acorn, there is within it a coated DNA. And when this acorn is planted in the right environment, the treeness within the acorn will automatically germinate into a visible manifestation of the inside coated DNA. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Now, as a little boy, I have took my pocket knife and I have cut a mini acorn open. And I never saw a tree in it. You don't see a tree in it. But how does a tree come out of it? Because of a divine future pull that takes over once it's in its proper environment. Now, I'm so high on myself, I don't know if you get this or not, I don't care. I'm telling you this is the truth. There is within you a devotion. You came here coded for success. There is your DNA is a divine nature attitude. That's the Christ that's in you. Not in religion. No. Not in religion. But if you got Christ in you, and you do, well, why don't he show himself? Because you don't acknowledge him. You put him in the right environment, he'll speak. You put him in the right environment, a divine future pull will take hold of him and pull him out. It's like it pulls a tree out of that acorn. Now, you show that acorn to a physicist, and he's going to tell you, what do you see? And he's going to say, I don't see no nut. I see an oak tree. You hand that same acorn to a quantum physics professor. Tell me what you see. You know what he's going to tell you? I see a whole forest. Because in every acorn is a tree. And an oak tree could be built to 100 years old. Will have millions of acorns. Now, how does the acorn get in its right environment? Next slide. Threefold purpose of an acorn. Number one, a tree. A tree. Tree is the is acorn seed. How the acorn cannot plant itself. So how does it get planted? This is where Mr. Squirrel and Mr. Chipmunk comes along. Because the high purpose of the acorn is to be a tree. But if it doesn't meet in the right environment, it cannot become a tree. So then it becomes their food. Look at the next acorn. The proper environment of this acorn is becoming into a tree is for the squirrel or the chipmunk to gather it, hide it, store it away in the ground, and then forget where exactly they hid it. Now it's in the right environment. Now, in our yard, Francis has built a Zen garden. Almost a whole acre Zen garden. Every year, we have 8, 9 big oak trees in our backyard. And every other year, we have a bumper crop on acorns. And every other year, we have the fattest squirrels and chipmunks. And then, In January, Francis has brought in 2 dump truck loads of mulch, over 44 yards of mulch. And we hire a crew, been working with us now for about 9 years. They come in and they spread it. And then the little squirrel will go crazy. Where did I plant that? Where did I plant that? Where did I plant that? And they're digging around trying to find it. And then about a couple of months, those they don't find, we know where they're at because those seedlings start coming up. Have you ever noticed what environment are you in? Who makes up your environment? What makes up your environment? Well, we don't seem to do nothing but holler and fuss at each other. That's your environment. Then that's going to produce nothing but chaos. Whatever the environment, everything in your life is conducive to your environment. And your environment is based on what you tell yourself. So the squirrel and the chipmunk, if it don't become a tree, it will become their food. And you know what happened to the squirrel and the little chipmunk when they eat the acorn? It goes in that digestive system and then come right back out. Right back in the ground. So again, the circle of life. It adds to the soul. Now remember, there's a good, perfect will of God. The acceptable, the good, and the perfect will. The perfect will to be the tree. The good is if you don't get hidden and stay hidden, what's great in you can't come out. Now, thank you for your enthusiasm. There's a guy in the Bible, you've all heard of him. His name is Joseph. Joseph was sold into slavery. Bjorn has preached on him hundreds of times. Sold into slavery. Didn't sell himself. His brothers mistreated him. Now, there was a divine plan of God for Joseph's life, and that God didn't tell him about it. So what Joseph had to do, he had to have a little arrogant, little spirit about him as a little boy. He was one of those little kids growing up that you would just like to slap. Because his daddy loved him more than he loved his other brothers, and his daddy, Jacob, showed it. So he made him a coat of many colors. And what did Joseph do? He wore that coat proudly. Guess I'm dad's favorite. Around the other brothers. How many know the other brothers weren't impressed with his little coat of many colors? Matter of fact, they got jealous. They got angry at him because of his arrogance. His arrogance. See, God lets you believe what you need to believe, get you where you need to be. So see, don't come to the conclusion of something just because you're going through a bad time. It could be God's plan getting you hid for 18 years. So Joseph's brothers had enough of him one day. And you know what they did? They beat him up, put him up, throwed him in a dungeon. Took his coat of many colors, went and killed a goat, poured goat blood all over it, and went and told their daddy Jacob, I hate to tell you this, but a lion got Joseph. Jacob, the patriarch. Anybody can be fooled. And Jacob agreed, oh my God, my son Joseph, my favorite son Joseph. And his brothers had done went and not only beat him up, put him in a dungeon, but they sold him to slavery and then killed a goat, poured blood all over it, and went and told the daddy the lion got him. What's all this about? Him being the nut getting hid. Then he was sold again to Potiphar in Egypt. And then his wife took a liking to him and tried to get him to come lie with her. He wouldn't. Then she lied on him, said he tried to rape her. And so then the Pharaoh then took him and really put him in prison for 18 years. Why? Putting him in the right environment. Oh, that ain't God's will. He need to be got out of that. Stay quiet, Joseph. Your time ain't come yet. See, once you start recognizing there's an intent purpose in you, greater than you doing, that's all you got to do, acknowledge it. Then divine pull will take over. A divine pull will take over. Then it's out of your hands. Now you are out of control. And nothing can be no more scary than be out of control. How many of you ever drove a car and got it out of control? Well, if you rode many times with me on the dirt roads of Tweed County, you would have been in a lot of cars got out of control. And you'd have heard this, help me, Jesus. Out of control. And you know the story. He finally came. But yet it took that, a divine pull, to pull out of him his greatness. So finally, the gift that God put in him from a child, because even as a child, he wasn't missing it. He just didn't know how to properly use it. Even as a little kid, Joseph had the gift of discernment. He just didn't know how to use it. He didn't know when to keep his mouth shut. But he had to be tempered. So to be tempered, he had to be put away. He had to be a nut that was hidden, forgot about. Sometimes you think you're forgot about. Stay sweet, Joseph. You're going to come out of there because of a divine pull that's on your life, because of the intent in your life. So finally, Joseph used wisdom, gave a word, came out. Then the most terrible thing happened to him when he got out. Before he got out, there was a butler and a baker had a dream. And both had a mighty dream, had to do with Pharaoh. And someone said, instead of worrying on this dream, I want you to go see Joseph. Joseph, tell you what this dream is. So Joseph told him what the dream was. He said to the baker, in 3 days, your head's going to be taken. To the butler, 3 days, you're going to be out of here. Get this very carefully. And Joseph said to the butler, because when he was finally, after 3 days, let go, Joseph said to the butler, please remember me when you go back before Pharaoh. Remember me. And the butler forgot him. That's the squirrel saying, where did I hide that acorn at? There's a chipmunk said, I know I had some acorns here somewhere. It's got to stay in the environment. Oh, you ain't feeling this yet. You got to stay. What's the question? Yes, a need to get relief from a divine presence that said, no, stay under. It ain't time yet. It's like the need to go check on a cake and the timing ain't went off yet. If you could hear the cake, if the cake could talk, it said, get me out of this hot oven. No, stay down. Stay low. Stay down there. Stay in there. See, that's where trust, that's where rest comes in. That God got something better for me. I was talking to Pastor Buren. Somewhere around the end of the year, first year, I'm going to do a special school only for intent people who want to go further in the positives. Selected only. And I'm talking, we're going to start off with intent. Because this thing can go deeper than you have imagined. It's all how far you want to go. So finally, they didn't remember him. Pharaoh had a dream. And someone said, I wish God you get Joe. You know the story. So the point is, stay under. Stay hid. I feel like God forgot me. He has. I feel like time done run off and left me. It has. I feel like nobody remember me. They don't. Well, that makes me sad. No, it should make you glad. If you knew the divine intent in you, it ain't time for you to come out yet. It ain't time yet for you to come out. Next slide, John. I mean, Jason. Now, if the nut acorn stays on the ground and no squirrel gets it, no squirrel hide it, and it lay on the ground and rot, decay, now it's still not a waste. Now ants get to eat it. Now it becomes ants and bugs food. And guess what they're going to do when that little digestive system get full? They're going to do what squirrel and chipmunk do. And guess where they're going to go? Right back in the earth. See, nothing is a total waste. After Jesus fed the multitude, he said, now pick up the fragments so nothing goes to waste. Everything in your life or experience you've ever had in your life, don't let it go to waste. Don't care how bad it is, how bad it felt. Even losing Pascal this week, me and friends are not about to let this go to waste. It's something that we learn from. And what we're learning from it, that your mind is so powerful, so God, that you take even a dog and elevate him to the status of a child, he'll become a child. So that when he dies, you grieve less like you do a child. That's the power of your mind. Man thinks he can, will. Man thinks he can't, won't. But most people can't make up my mind. We're just hoping God rolls the dice just right. Because we forget we are the creator of our lives. So whichever way the simple acorn has a divine purpose is either become a tree, squirrel food, or ant food. It has a purpose. So do you. So do you. No one's in this room tonight is wasted. No one in this room tonight do not have a divine purpose in for you. And in you. Well, tell me what it is. Can't nobody tell you that. It has to be revealed to you. What you are. Well, I don't know what it is. Because you ain't in the right environment. You get in the right environment, you'll know. Look at the next. Have a next picture, John. Oh, that it? Jason. I'm sorry. That it, Jason? Okay. So what is your purpose? What is your purpose tonight? I wish I knew what it was. Well, like we used to sing as kids, wish upon a star and put it in your pocket, hoping for a rainy day, I guess. You can know if you will truly seek, what is my purpose? And don't be like the little kid in the chicken yard down in Twiggs County. Went to check the hen house one day to get the eggs, chewing gum. Dropped his gum in the chicken yard, thought he found it four times. And we all go through that. Oh, this is the will of God in my life. No. There it is. Okay, it just eliminated what you're not to be. All that did just show the little kid what wasn't gum. The moral of the story is don't chew gum going in the chicken yard. And if you do, hold it in your mouth. There's purpose in you. There's thanksgiving in you. There's gratefulness in you. There's beauty in you. How many got your book, You're a Badass, so far? Started reading it? It's a guide to your greatness. A guide to show you your awesomeness. Your power. See, if you think you're no good, then that's what you'll be. Because you're God, no good. If you think you're purpose, you're purpose. Well, I don't know what environment to put around me. What feels good? What is the environment that put around you? I recognize, the first thing I recognize, Miss Lynn, is people that I no longer need in my environment. I don't need needy people in my environment. Because all needy people did was make me feel like me doing the work of the ministry by giving, pouring into a bucket with holes in it. Well, I'm trying to help them. No, I wasn't. I was enabling them not to get better, to stay bound, stay bad, to stay poverty. Anything you're against, you give power to it. Let me say that again. Anything you are against, you give power to it. And not January 20th, 1964, addressing the Joint Chiefs and Congress, President Johnson declared the Great Society, the building of the Great Society. And he said, I want to report to Congress tonight that the United States of America will declare war on poverty. And everybody, yay! We ended poverty, didn't we? Whatever you get, you give power to it. Johnson thought we'd take billions of dollars and throw it poverty, do away with it. No, it increased it. Didn't learn. That's okay, we get another chance. 10 years later, 1974, Richard Nixon said, I decree, and he told Congress, as of now, the United States of America would declare war on drugs. Boy, we ended that, didn't we? It spread it. January 2002, George Bush Jr. stood before the same Congress and said, we in the United States, now we declare war on terrorism. Boy, we got rid of that, didn't we? See, what you're against, you give power to. That's why we got such a big devil, because churches is against him. Whatever you're against, you give power to. I was at a group not long ago and almost got booed. Well, not booed off. Close. And I knew it was a conservative evangelical church. And so I let them know a little tidbit how to get rid of abortion. Simple. Let's get 200,000 people to show up in Atlanta that's for life, not against abortion, but for life. Stop it. Well, no, because if we for life, we got to be against abortion. See, that's how you've been conditioned to think. I got to be against something before I'm be for something. How many know that's just stupid? Brother Kenneth Hagin said, that's just stupid going to seed. What are you for? Not what you're against. We're for. I'm for righteousness. I'm for thanksgiving. I'm for gratefulness. I'm for praise. That's why I love, and I listen to that song hundreds of times. Oh, Ron Cornoli, sing that song 30 years ago. I just can't stop praising his name. I just can't stop praising his name. I just can't stop praising his name, Jesus. Yeah, Jesus. Yeah, Jesus. I just can't stop praising his name. That's what Dusty was saying a while ago. When it becomes your language. But to understand that, you've got to acknowledge there's a divine intent in you. Oh. And once you understand what it is, then you start looking for the environment to put yourself in. The difference between you and an acorn or an acorn is it can't plant itself. You can. Ooh. Yep, whoop, there it is. Are you conscious by who around you? Are you a conscious? Emotionally, what you sound your rest up around? Well, we just can't do nothing but seem to fuss. Well, I can tell you one thing, we ain't gonna be we no more. Because me ain't gonna hang around that. Because I'm so protective of my environment. If I want peace around me, that's what I'm putting around me. I put calm music around me. I put beautiful things around me. That's why I love to kid people. Like when I come in night, Betsy there. I just put my arm around. Come here, Betsy. Because Betsy make me feel good. Old Jane Brown song, I feel good. Yeah, I feel good. That is my environment. My goal is to make you feel good. That's why you can't be a downer and stay in my presence long. Because either I'm going to affect you, but I can promise you, you ain't going to affect me. Because I know where the door's at. Your environment. Okay, you anything out of this tonight? Okay, question. Any questions? How many ever feel like you've been forgotten? I'll raise two hands and one foot. 45 years in the ministry, first 35 years, I thought I was forgotten. You know why? Because I didn't have a super big church. And it made me feel bad. Dr. Kirby Clemens asked me one time, you already know Dr. Kirby, he used to come here a lot, great man, one of my great mentors in the beginning. And he asked me one day, he said, Brother Ralph, did you read that article in Charisma magazine? I said, Dr. Kirby, there's two things I do not do. I do not read Charisma magazine and I do not read Hustler. Because both of them will make me sin. He said, well, Brother Ralph, that's an interesting concept. I see how Hustler would make you sin, but how would Charisma magazine make you sin? Because it has become an info commercial for who's who in the zoo. And if you ain't running at least 500 and ain't coming to this Holy Ghost field revival, you feel like you just dirt that won't flush. So it makes me feel bad. And I don't read it. Well, it got some good articles. Don't know. I don't look through it. So what makes you feel bad? I got told a client of mine one time, if praying make you feel bad, for God's sake, quit praying. Well, I'm just trying to carry. No, you ain't carrying nothing. Susanna, you're not carrying nothing but your own burden. I'm so heavy laden. That ain't what it said to be. And the reason you're not grateful and thankful because you don't praise him and thank him enough. Like Dusty said a while ago, it's got to become your language. Do you know, when I started this, I thought I was going to run out of things to praise God for. Because I was conditioned to believe at that time, 38 years in the ministry, I done praised him for everything. And then, Brother Billy, I started praising him. Next thing you know, I started remembering things when I was 8 years old. Then I started remembering things when I was 12 years old. Then I started remembering how I got by with stuff and shouldn't have got by with it. Then I started remembering then I didn't praise God when I was 16 years old, Keith. And I started remembering things. So I got another crop to praise him for. To thank him. That's why I can never give out a Thanksgiving. From Thanksgiving. All right, let's all stand. Folks, I'm tired. You're making me work hard tonight. You make me plow uphill. And no plow. But there's a divine intent in you. There's a divine intent in you, David. You've been apprehended for greatness. Elizabeth, you've been apprehended for greatness. Kate, you've been apprehended for greatness. That's why I tell you every week, you're brilliant. You got a brilliant mind. You're brilliant. Ashley, you're brilliant. You're brilliant. Every one of you. Sandra, you're brilliant. I would tell you this, if it don't offend you, you're a badass. Read the book. A Guide to Your Greatness. Don't be one of those on the outside waiting on God to do it for you. Go ahead and acknowledge what's in you. Put those seven laws back up again. I think slide two, Jason. Acknowledge there's a divine intent in you. Confess it. Surrender to it. Desire it. Allow it to have his work in you. Feel it. And then love it. Embrace it and love it. And it will manifest. We're going to leave that screen on. So, Bjorn, you got any announcements to make?
Nope.
How many believe they're great? How many believe you're just no worldly worm, just trying to get by, hope one day you make it to heaven? Thank God we got no inchworms in the crowd. Inching along. You're great. You're great. You're great. Okay. God bless you. Hug everybody's neck three times and tell them you love them. Amen.